Greetings. If you're listening to this, you're likely already aware that in light of a growing number of recommendations and concerns relating to coronavirus, COVID-19, we've temporarily suspended our services here at St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church. If you're looking for information and regular updates, you can find a link with a statement that we keep up to date on the main page of our website, or you can phone or email our office. My name is Nick, and I'm one of the pastors here with St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church. If any of you happen to be listening in who are new, or if you didn't happen to recognize me from my voice. Through this time, I've shared that I'll plan to be recording the messages that I've prepared and uploading them here. We're working to put a distribution plan in place to share some of these materials in different ways with some folks in our community who might not be connected over the internets. We realize that's for some of our senior members, that might not be the case for many of them, in fact. So we're working on that and appreciate your patience in the meantime as we adjust. This week, I've chosen to do something a bit different. I recorded the next message in our series on the Book of Daniel, a message that I prepared some time ago. And if you're interested in looking that up, listening to that, and you haven't already, you can find it uploaded on the audio services section of our website. And I did want to share that yet. I had prepared it, like I said, some time ago, and felt just for a sake of continuity and for any of you who might be tracking along with that series to put that up there. But I also felt this week that it was important to speak to this incredible moments that we all find ourselves in these days. And so I'm recording this additional reflection, which I'm basing off the lectionary text for this Sunday, Sunday, March 22nd. The lectionary, for any of you who might not be familiar with it, is a three-year cycle of scripture readings that many churches work with as a structure, a kind of guide or a framework or a rhythm for their preaching and worship. If you've maybe noticed, we regularly include those texts in our bulletins here for your reading throughout the year. It's a cycle that follows the church calendar, something called the liturgical year. And so this week's readings are for the fourth Sunday of Lent, this season that we find ourselves in this weekend. If you're looking them up, or I kind of glanced at one of our bulletins, you'll find the full list of those for today. There's typically an Old Testament reading, a psalm reading, a gospel reading, and a reading from one of the New Testament letters. Sometimes variants in there, but that's typically what's provided. And so I've chosen to just very briefly look at the psalm reading for my thoughts today, and to see what it might have to speak to us and to speak to the situation that we find ourselves in. And the psalm reading for this Sunday, you might know, is Psalm 23. 23rd Psalm, one that I'm sure many of you could recite from memory if you wanted. I have to admit, though, that in 10 or so years of preaching and pastoring, I don't believe that I've ever actually spoken on Psalm 23. I realized this as I was looking over these texts this past week. It's really surprising, actually, because, as you know, this is one of those texts that gets preached on an awful lot. Because of that, I'm not sure I have much to add, to be honest. It's one of those times, one of those passages that is so rich and so full of meaning and truth and depth that it might simply suffice just to read it and hear it and have it presented to us again at this time. In any case, I'll read it for you now. If you happen to have a Bible or a phone with an app nearby, you could look it up and read along. And I'll offer just a couple short reflections about it in response. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. There's an author whose work I love named Dallas Willard. Been part of our community for the past while. You may have heard me reference him or share some of his work before. He was a professor of philosophy at the University of South Carolina and someone who thought and wrote and taught extensively about the spiritual life. Life in the way of Jesus, what he called life in the kingdom. And at some point while he was still living, Dallas Willard put on this series of Sunday evening talks based on this psalm, Psalm 23. He did this while he was with a small church in California. And those talks were eventually transcribed, recorded, and transformed into text, and then made into a book that was published just a couple years ago. And in the midst of those talks collected in this book is this statement that pops up again and again, statement that Dallas Willard shared, thinking about this psalm, this Hebrew poem, thinking about the heart of its message. And that statement, that quote goes like this, and you'll find it right at the very start of that book. Dallas Willard says about Psalm 23 that the world is a perfectly good and safe place to be. The world is a perfectly good and safe place to be. Now, I was listening to this interview a while back about people who are discussing this book on these lectures by Dallas Willard on Psalm 23, and they talked about that statement for a while, that statement that the world is a perfectly good and safe place for us to be as God's people. And they actually, in this interview, laughed about it to start. One of them said something to the effect of, was he living in the same world that we live in? It's good and safe, really? This world? Our world? I don't know about you, but these days it can feel like our world is not particularly safe, not a particularly safe place to live in right now. If you spent any amount of time at all paying attention to the news these past weeks, and it's been hard not to, you've likely heard question after question about whether this or that thing is safe to do during this outbreak and during these measures that we're seeing. Is it safe, we hear, to go to the dentist? Is it safe to hike or run or be outside? Is it safe to handle mail? Is it safe to have your children play outside or at parks? Is it safe to order delivery or takeout? Is it safe to go to a grocery store? Is it safe, people ask, to go to the bank? Is it safe to get your hair cut? Is it safe to go skiing or swimming or to golf or give birth or to breastfeed or donate blood or to vote? If that small sampling of headlines from this past week, all real ones, I should add, is any indication of things, there are a lot of people out there right now for whom the world does not feel particularly safe at this time. When there are people asking if it's safe to drink tap water at this time, again, it's another real headline out there right now, it's clear that there are some people who feel like nothing is safe right now. So what do we do with all that? What do we do if that's us or you or your family member or somebody else that you know? And what do we do with that really puzzling and frankly unbelievable sounding statement that this author makes, that Dallas Willard makes in relation to Psalm 23? That this world is a perfectly good and safe place for us to be. I think we do a few things to start. Just very practically, we stay informed in a good way from reputable and trustworthy sources, recognizing that there are lots of people and lots of publications out there that either prey on anxieties or downplay anxieties or even profit from all the fear-mongering that's happening right now. We stay informed and we keep it in perspective. These are significant measures, but largely at this point for us still preventative measures. We take precautions and we stay informed. Which is important, I think, because many things are still, in fact, safe to be doing for the time being. Like many of you, our family has been spending a lot of time outdoors this past week. I've been going for lots of walks and hikes, and we've been doing some sidestepping to keep a good amount of distance between us and the others out there, but lots of things are still fine to do and even good for us to be doing right now. There are also some things that really aren't safe to do at this time, and so we do take recommendations into account, and we maintain distance like we're being asked to do, and we stay clear of some activities for this time. Those are critically important things to be doing at this time. But I also believe that there's something else that we can be thinking about and doing in these weeks as well, and that's recovering a sense of what it means to be safe in a deep, true, and completely unshakable sense, even when the world around us might feel to some of us as entirely unsafe. I think that is precisely what Dallas Willard, this author, is talking about when he said that statement about Psalm 23, that statement that we find perhaps so very hard to believe true these days, that for God's people, the world is a perfectly good and safe place to be. Now, there are lots of reasons, I think, why Psalm 23 is so beloved by so many. Beyond the fact, of course, that it's so widely known and has been so widely used over history, one of those reasons, I believe, and this maybe gets to what's behind that statement, is that it speaks to this profound sense of stability and security in the midst of a context that's marked by radical insecurity. It gives voice and really invites us into a sense of spiritual sureness and stillness during times that might seem radically open and uncertain to us. Because the lines of this psalm might sound so calm and serene to hear them at first, or maybe to hear them again, as so many of us have. They might seem to have such a warm and soft and sentimental, almost a greeting card kind of tone. And yet, as one author put it, behind this psalm lies all kinds of danger and distress. We have this familiar and wonderful pastoral image of a shepherd tending to their flock, which is all very lovely and picturesque for us to imagine. And yet the backdrop to that scene is one that's full, just so full of potential peril and pitfalls. The fact, for example, that the writer is said to be like this creature that's well-fed and safely bed and led to drinking water is really only comforting, is really only a comfort in a world in which the threat of lack is real. In the same way, I think that for the ancient sheep herders and their animals, that it wasn't always clear if there would be green grass or flowing streams. These words from this psalm are only comforting in a context where it is at times truly unclear whether there will be enough, whether we will have what we need to go on living. Those depictions of danger and distress, as we know, become even more vivid halfway through the lines of this poem, this psalm. Here again, in these words that will be so familiar to so many of us, the writer describes treacherous journeys through dark valleys and the threats of evil and enemies all around. It's all of these very real risks, all of these very real potentials for peril and pitfall. And yet, throughout it, there's this steady and tranquil and knowing and trusting and confident tone that's just thread through this whole psalm, that's present at every turn. The psalmist talks about not fearing, not being afraid, and being comforted, and goodness and love and mercy and anointing, and this abundant and full table that's been set, and this invitation that's been given. And again, given all those contexts and descriptions of danger and distress that I mentioned, it can seem almost laughable to hear that, right? As laughable maybe as the professor and Sunday school teacher saying that this world is a good and perfectly good and safe place for us to be. It can maybe make you want to grab the writer by the shoulders and shake them and say, how can you talk about all that in a world like this? How can you talk about all these wonderful and beautiful and good things in a world full of valleys and malevolence and adversaries, a world full of sickness and suffering and loss, a world where people are confined and bedridden and anxiety-ridden and losing their jobs and losing their savings and being pushed in so many ways to the brink? How can you write that way? How can you talk that way? How can you say that the world is a perfectly good and safe place for us to be? I'm not sure, but I wonder if you can write that way and talk that way and maybe even live that way. If you've come to know and experience the reality that when your life is hidden in God's, your deepest and truest self will be kept safe. When your life is hidden in God, your deepest and truest self will be kept safe, even when the world around us might feel entirely unsafe. I will not fear, for you are with me, the psalmist says. It's this assurance of God's unfailing presence, God's constant accompaniments in our lives that's entirely uncircumstantial. Just thinking about how deeply comforting that might be in this time of isolation where we're feeling in many ways so distant from each other, where family members, many of us, are not able to see one another. That sense that we will not fear because you are with us. For you are with me, the psalmist says. In all likelihood, we're going to continue to see the impact of coronavirus and experience the impact of measures and more measures that are put in place. Again, we keep it in perspective. I think that's important. This hasn't been the first time that the church has weathered something like this. Our most senior members will bring to mind and share about things that they've lived through as well. We keep it in perspective. It will only be for a time, but it may end up being for some time yet. And this psalm doesn't offer the promise that as a people of God we'll be spared from the ongoing impacts of that, that we won't have to feel the impact of it on our lives and the lives of our loved ones. Instead, it offers us this promise, I believe, that even in the midst of the realities that we face, we continue to be provided for and guided in deep, deep ways in our lives, and that we need not fear at the end of the day, because God is with us. It offers the promise that in God, the world truly is a good and safe place to be, a good and safe place for us to be. This world, even our world, even right now, that our lives in their deepest and truest senses will be kept safe in God, in Christ. And that's unshakable. Even when things seem to be shaking around us, the ground shaking, even when things might feel to us completely unsafe. So my encouragement would be, again, to stay informed in these days and weeks, to keep perspective and to take all the precautions we need to be taking and can be taking right now. It's a critical time. But also to be finding ways to take care of yourselves and take care of others. I've heard a number of people reflect on this being the time of Lent and feeling like we're giving up something as followers of Jesus, as the church. We're fasting from something in a way in this time, in having to let go of these practices for a season. And yet I'm struck by how much of an appetite for feasting I've seen in the midst of all this as well. People are just hungry for ways to engage spiritually during this time, with all sorts of opportunities to do so popping up. And many of you have shared those. Those are ways to be taking care of yourselves and to be sharing with others. You may find as well that there are still ways to be lighthearted and maybe even laugh in the midst of all this. For example, I was writing, while I was writing the Psalm and reflecting on the Psalm and looking at all those questions that people were asking today about what's safe to do and what's not safe to do, I came across some recent articles asking if it was safe to eat cookie dough or safe to put frozen meat in a slow cooker. And I have to tell you that it felt strangely assuring to me that people were still asking those kind of questions. Even with the current state of our worlds, people are still making cookies and crockpot meals. Not out of ignorance necessarily, not turning a blind eye, not sticking their heads in the sand, but trying to carry on as best they can with those ordinary pieces and ordinary rhythms of their lives that they might even perhaps share with others. And so I'd encourage you to do that, as so many of you have told me that you've been doing in these past days. Turn off the news, turn off the TV for a minute, turn off your computer and your phone, and make a batch of cookies, or pull out your crock pots and make a dinner. And while you're doing that, may you trust that even with everything that's happening, and even with everything that might happen in the days and weeks to come, as a people of God, as a people whose lives are hidden in God and kept safe in Jesus, we can truly believe that this world is a perfectly good and safe place to be. I'll close just by reading that psalm again as a prayer for this time. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Amen.